What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
I signed with the Rod squad in 2011, that summer. You signed at the back of a smoke pack. Roddy, I would say, is like the Irish Harry Redknapp.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.
Morning, Adrian. How are you?
Who are you texting?
Who am I texting?
Yeah, you're in the middle of texting Tommy going, here, come on. Get enough of this plug-in podcast nonsense. Get on with it.
Yeah, no, I texted him that a few minutes ago. No, I'm free and ready to go and all.
Come here. The big story, a few bits to talk to you about, but there's a story in the back of the Examiner this morning about Donegal Ryan and strong links with La Rochelle. And it reminded me that when we were talking to Ronan O'Gara a few weeks ago about his own signing a new deal, I put it to him that he might want to look at bringing in new coaches, and he just burst out laughing and said that'd be something he'd come back to at a later time. This would be something that would make total sense.
Yeah, it would. It'd be a great opportunity for Dunica as well, I think, to start his coaching career. Again, it's you're straight in at the deep end when you finish like that, and it suits some people. Ronan did that himself as a player. So, yeah, it would make sense. I think, look, I've always chatted to Mike Prendergast and Ronan about the impact of Dunica since he went to Racing and the way he's, you know, would have been. It's kind of like a natural thing for some players with the way they're, you can see that natural transition for them to becoming coaches, the way they run the line out or talk about the breakdown or talk about scrums and the way they can dominate and motivate players around them. And some players like to sit back and be told and guided. And I think Dunica would have, it wouldn't surprise me if he became a coach. I think from my time of playing him and knowing him so well, he was always a student of the game. He was always someone who was stuck in the videos, trying to learn all the time, doing extra stuff, always asking questions of coaches. I think he was on a Munster under 18 East Munster team back in when I was playing with Munster, when I was starting out with Munster, and I was asked to go back to my local rugby club to do a session with the East Munster under 18 team, and Dunica Ryan was there. I remember his enthusiasm for asking me questions about the line out and wanting to learn. So I did this session with them, and I remember going away thinking, geez, I got asked so many questions by this gangly, tall second row from Nina and Tipperary, and I was really impressed with him. And he was the same when he came into Munster.
What was he asking you, Quinny? I mean, that's a very detailed
just
question.
General things about movement on the ground and not just winning the ball. I think what impressed me for such a guy who's so young was defending the opposition, you know, because most people think line-out is just all about attack, but there's so much complex stuff around how you defend a line-out and how you watch what the opposition do. And he just was full of enthusiasm. Of course, all the other young lads were there, but it was just the confidence and the questions, and you could just see this is a guy that's easily coachable, but also just has a real kind of desire to learn all the time. And there's no guarantee that top players become top coaches. That doesn't always work, and it's the same. It's all across all sports. But I think it helps when you have a real kind of energy and enthusiasm to keep learning, and that you're always studying the game. And Dunica was like that. He was always studying the game and trying to get better. And then he became very good in the latter years of playing with Munster. He would have been a little bit quieter, obviously, when you have Paul O'Connell and Dunica O'Callaghan as your mainstay second rows, who were top-class internationals and British and Irish lines, and, you know, people who were performing at a high level. And, you know, he's in the background, and Mick O'Driscoll is there as well. So, you know, he would have been quiet in the earlier years, but as he started to develop and get more confidence, you know, you're coming up against a Dunica Ryan we're doing sessions on a Tuesday morning and getting ready for a game at the weekend, and starting that kind of line out rep and the preparation about what kind of line outs we're going to do for the following weekend. And, you know, Donica Ryan and Mick O'Driscoll are the two second rows going up against us, and they're disrupting our line out, putting massive pressure on us. And all that enthusiasm that I saw as an 18-year-old is now there as a big physical, big imposing second row and back row as well, because he could play in the back row as well. And, you know, he always impressed me like that, Donica. So the point is, I think he impressed in Racing.
Yeah.
We've always had these conversations about, you know, what do Irish players bring to the coaching setups as coaches and as players. And it's that bit of extra detail that sometimes is not, they don't pay huge heed to in France. You know, they play off the cuff. It's all about offloading out of the tackle. You know, for years we were saying there's no huge detail around breakdown, specific roles for people. And, you know, in Ireland, we would have had very specific roles. You know, look at Ireland under Joe Schmidt. Everybody knew what they were doing, when they were doing it, and it brought great success. So there is a need for that. Of course, there is a need for off-the-cuff stuff. So Dunica's detail around line-out and the way he viewed the ruck and just general attitude and work rate would have always impressed me, because he was someone who pushed his body to the limit. So translating that in as a, over as a coach is different. But I think he has the temperament, he has the knowledge, and obviously now he has the experience. He's 37, he's 47 caps for Ireland. He was with Munster for a long, long time, and he's gone to France and been a big success. And I think, you know, I think this is an unbelievably exciting move for him. To link up with Rog as well makes it a little bit easier. And good news for Irish rugby, because, you know, the more coaches we have and develop, the better. So I think it's a great move.
It was only just you were saying that suddenly the Ronan O'Gara, Paul O'Connell dream team looks less likely now. This is going to be the new Martin O'Neill, Roy Keane partnership. We'll see how it pans out.
If it works. Actually going to La Rochelle is there's added pressure because of what they've achieved this year. Can they back it up? Can they improve? Can they get better? So, you know, when you're in the top or close to the top, it's difficult to maintain it. So maybe they will get better. And, you know, they've won more game. They need their way to Clermont tomorrow night. They secure a point there and they're guaranteed a top two. Dunica's Racing, their third, you know, they'll be trying to jump into that top two spot. But it'll be interesting. And I think there will be a lot of pressure there, a lot of scrutiny as well. But, you know, for Dunica going there, I think Rog would have approached him and spoke to him about it. And there's nothing done or dusted around it yet. But I hope it happens, because I think it'd be a great opportunity. And as I said, the more coaches we have developing abroad, the better. And but there will be a fair bit of pressure, because Rog, you know, no matter who you are, no matter how close you are to him, I experienced that as a player. He won't, like, if Dunica took the job, and his halfbacks are not getting top quality ball from line out, or the breakdown is wrong, Roger will read the riot act to him, you know. Yeah. So it's not as the case. It's going to be a nice, cosy partnership, because both of them will be under pressure.
It'll be fascinating. It'll be brilliant for all the rest of us as well to watch on. The biggest question for him, obviously, now will be, because it'll be a no-brainer if he was fully decided in his mind that he was retiring. But there's been obviously interest in Pro D2. He's 38 in December. There's probably still a question mark there of, like, you know, if he calls it now, that's it, done. And the temptation, I suppose, to do another year. What would you advise him?
Oh, take this opportunity if it's there. You know, it is a brilliant opportunity, because obviously he will have the protection of Rog, and if he goes there, and, you know, stability around that. And you know, he could go and play in Pro D2 and pick up an injury, and things can change, and you can get lost, and these opportunities mightn't happen again. So when these opportunities happen, you know, you've got to go for them. I think he should go for it. I think he'd be a great coach. I'd be enthused, genuinely, and I'm not just saying this because I'd be friends with Dunica and he's a tip man and I played with him, but I he's the kind of fellow who just brings an energy and a real enthusiasm around, you know, his presence. And I think he would have learned a lot off Paul as well. You know, Paul has probably trained a lot of these guys around the line out over the years, the way he had to learn himself. I always tell Paul he learned from me about the lineout. He doesn't really give me any credit for that. But obviously, you know, Paul was a different level, and you know, he's doing well with Ireland now. But things can change very quickly. It's all results based, no matter how good you are as a coach. But I think Dunica should take this. It's down to a personal choice, Adrian. You know, does he want to go into coaching? Does he want that pressure? Your day starts a little bit earlier as a coach and it finishes a bit later, and you're continuously watching and monitoring stuff and meetings about meetings about meetings. So it's different. You know, you have to have the desire for that.
Yeah, I remember being sat beside him for a game against, it might have been the All Blacks at the Aviva a couple of years ago, and he just chatted all the way through the game, to the point at one stage he turned around and he said, will I just stop talking? And obviously I was
that's the way he is.
This is unbelievable stuff. He was picking, there was like an All Blacks overthrow, if I remember rightly, at a line out, and he had it picked apart like that straight away afterwards. Could tell me exactly, sort of, to my untrained eye, I hadn't a clue what was going on, but exactly why it came about, what they were trying to get out of it. Incredible mind, really. What, in terms of his role, Quinny, it seems like, according to the Examiner, forwards and defence sort of thing.
Yeah, I spoke to Ronan earlier in the week, and we didn't get into this, but I know he was looking in the last couple of weeks that there's a couple of changes. Their forwards coach is gone, John O'Gibbs is gone. So I think he's in his mind, he wants to be kind of manager and then have assistant coaches, three assistant coaches. And I think so. But obviously, if Dunne could come in, he'd be an assistant coach, but really with a view of running line-out and breakdown. But I know the way he talks about it, he doesn't want to pigeonhole someone into a specific role, the way your defence coach, forwards coach, backs coach, all this kind of stuff. The game is all encompassing now, and that's the way he views it. So, like, there'll be certain stuff that, you know, that Dunica will take from Joe Schmidt, which is invaluable experience. You know, the stuff he would have learned from Joe, the stuff he would have learned from Paul as a player, different coaches in Munster, Declan Kidney, Tony McGahan, his coaches in France as well. So you try and couple all that experience and add to that. And then you've got to manage players. So look, the reality is, I think Dunica, what impressed me most about Dunica was the line-out work, that the way he improved, particularly around those defensive pieces that we were doing. You know, like me being going, Jesus, these guys are wrecking our heads here, because they're getting up, they're robbing our ball, they're stealing our lineouts here. And I just saw such an improvement in Dunica over the years in his work defensively and having an ability to call a lineout. So, you know, there's always room to improve no matter who you have and how good you are. Week on week, you've got to keep evolving with lineouts and, you know, set a template around breakdown and bring some new ideas. So I think it's going to be, you know, if he gets involved there, it'll be lineout and breakdown.
Quinny, can I just ask you, there were some interesting tidbits out of David Nisifora during the week. And look, he dropped a bit of a hint that maybe he will leave his position as IRFU High Performance Director when that contract expires next season. And I know his family relocated back to Australia during the pandemic. But different reports kind of suggesting maybe the stage could be set for Joe Schmidt's return in that guise. How do you see that as a potential option? Would Schmidt, I guess, fit that role perfectly in your view?
Yeah, well, look, he's Joe's someone who's incredibly intelligent and obviously was a brilliant coach. I think I even though his role in World Rugby now is more, you know, planning and structures and right across the board in rugby throughout the world, I think, and I'm only speculating here, that desire and spark to be out in the shorts running around like we saw him for years, you know, even in the warm-ups, I was always watching out for Joe Schmidt running around, being so actively involved in the warm-ups before big internationals, where a lot of head coaches, you'd see him back with the arms folded 20, 30 yards away from the players, and then the specific coaches doing the warm-ups and stuff like that. I'd be amazed if Joe doesn't get back coaching in a couple of years. I think that the role he's in at the moment, you know, he's back in New Zealand. He's back there with his son, Luke, who's obviously, you know, he's trying to protect him around from COVID and stuff like that. Still has the house in Dublin. So that link would be, you know, always be there. And Joel Schmidt will always be linked to, if that role was available or even to come back as a head coach in a few years. So, he would have the credentials and the ability to do that job and control all the forward planning and planning around the RFU. So it wouldn't surprise me. It's a job he could do very, very easily, Shane. But obviously he's in a role now where he's in a very high top position in world rugby and running the game. So it depends how that goes. But for me, I'd be amazed if Joe Schmidt isn't back with the shorts on in a couple of years.
Just on David Nusafora's role, like he's been there for 7 years now, and look, I'm not saying he's unaccountable, but you know, he's heavily involved in contracts and the coaching appointments and strategic decisions. In your view, that job, is it almost too powerful a job? Could it be split among, you know, a number of different people at the top of the IRFU, or is that the way to do it, that maybe one person kind of spearheads the whole thing? Is it maybe too powerful is too strong a phrase, but what's your kind of overview on the role itself?
Well, there is a games development committee and a game in the RFU that things have to be run by. I think David Nusafour obviously makes decisions and a lot of big decisions around the pathways and development of the game. Has had criticism over the years, a lot of kudos as well, and a lot of compliments and credit for success, and particularly around the time, you know, the success from 2014 to 2018, we were probably the envy of world rugby. With the structures and the provinces, the way they were running. Came in for a lot of criticism around player movement, I think particularly out of Leinster, which is understandable in a sense that you can see both sides of the coin. You know, Joey Carberry moving, he got blamed for that. And other players moving around the provinces. But I think it's his job to try and make all the four provinces stronger and ultimately make the Irish team stronger and run the game here. People would have liked to have seen more of David Nusafora, particularly around, you know, some of the press conferences, and say that they don't see enough of him. But look, I think he's done a good job, but particularly around, you know, he has to contract all these players and make decisions. And I think in the last couple of years, there has been criticism there. So it's a role that it's difficult to say you share the workload. You need a director of rugby, and that essentially that's what it is right at the top. You need someone who isn't afraid to make big decisions. Some decisions that don't please people. I think certain players over the years would have been disappointed that they didn't get contracts. Some of the player movements, stuff like that. But I think you need someone, and I think he's done a good job. As I said a couple of years ago, he was getting massive credit. I think there is issues. And there's always going to be issues continually in a job like that. But it'll be interesting to see if he stays on. He was kind of hinting the other day that he may not. He may go back to Australia. And, I suppose it's... I don't see the role changing because of... It depends what the provinces and what they feed back in as well. I think he's worked with all the coaches in all the provinces. Some of them maybe are frustrated that basically... some of the decisions around signings and stuff is down to him, and they're restricted in what they can do. It's a totally different model here, Shane, from somewhere like France or the UK, where they're individual owners and they can go and do whatever they want when they want. But you know, the system here gets a huge amount of credit and then gets a certain amount of criticism, particularly when we don't perform in World Cups and stuff like that, and there's reviews done and there's feedback there about different changes that should happen. So it'll be interesting to see what happens and whether he stays on and has the stomach to go again, or whether he's wanted by the RFU.
Yeah, we'll watch it with close interest, and plenty of stuff to say about the women's game as well that deserves coming back to at some point, and we'll do that. But for now, Alan Quinlan, thanks a million.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.